The power of the resurrection. It is so powerful, and our world misses so much of it, and we as believers sometimes miss the importance of the resurrection. We focus on the cross and realize the penalty was paid there, and we forget the fact that because of the resurrection, not only will we live in this world, but we have the opportunity because of the cross to be raised and live for eternity with the Lord Jesus. I love the way Peter talked about it in Acts 2, verse 22. We know this as the day of Pentecost. Fellow Israelites, listen to these words. This Jesus of Nazareth was a man attested to you by God with miracles, wonders, signs that God did among you through him, just as you yourselves know. Though he was delivered up according to God's determined plan and foreknowledge, you used lawless people to nail him to the cross and to kill him. But God raised him up, ending the pains of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by death. For David said of him, I saw the Lord ever before me. Because he is my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. Moreover, my flesh will rest in hope, because you will not abandon me in Hades or allow your Holy One to see decay. You have revealed the paths of life to me. You have filled me with gladness and presence. Brothers and sisters, I can confidently speak to you about the patriarch David. He is both dead and buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Since he was a prophet, he knew that God had sworn an oath to him to seat one of his descendants on his throne. Seeing what was to come, he spoke concerning the resurrection of the Messiah. He was not abandoned in Hades, and his flesh did not experience decay. God raised this Jesus, and we all are witness of this. Therefore, since he has been exalted to the right hand of God and received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit, he has poured out what you both have seen and heard. For it was not David who ascended to the heavens, but he himself said, the Lord declared to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. Therefore, let all of the house of Israel know with certainty that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. You know this story well. What a difference a week makes. One week earlier, the crowds had welcomed Jesus the Nazarene into Jerusalem with all the pomp and ceremony of a king's welcome. They marked his royal road with coats and palm branches. They cried with loud shouts of Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And as the week unfolded toward the drama of Calvary, Jesus was guided by the will of the Heavenly Father. He purged the temple of thieves and animals. He cursed the fruitless fig tree. He taught in parables. He told how we are to love God, and he spoke of the resurrection. With reproach on Thursday night, you can see Jesus taking care of all the little things that needed to be done in preparation. All of Israel was in a fever pitch of activity in preparation of the Passover, and the Lord knew the Passover would be fulfilled that year. The requirements of the Old Testament was occurring. All the Old Testament systems were finding their fulfillment in Jesus of Nazareth, and so would the Passover. The Lamb without spot and blemish would be slain this year, and he would take away the sin of the world. Thursday night and Friday went just as they were predicted to in the Old Testament prophets. The man honored as the king on Sunday, Palm Sunday, was crucified as a dangerous criminal on Friday. Even his body, as predicted, had been placed in a fresh, hewn, cut-out, borrowed tomb of the Pharisee, Joseph of Arimathea. with their work complete, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the high priests, the government officials all settled in for the weekend of celebration, of fun, good food, and relaxation. Their rebellious troublemaker was now history. The Sabbath of the Passover was filled with a special joy for some because Jesus was dead. Some of the crowds in Jerusalem were happy because they had more money now as a result of that. The disciples, on the other hand, were in the depths of despair and discouragement. The great teacher, the miracle worker, was gone. He was dead, and ultimately death of humiliation on the cross. All of Jerusalem saw Jesus with everything and every one of his followers gone. He died the ultimate death of humiliation. All of Jerusalem saw it, everyone, everything, all of his followers deserted, and he was alone. They heard the cry, "It is finished," and they saw his body go lifeless on the cross. They saw the spear thrust into his side and the blood and the water flowing out. They saw the dead body taken down from the cross and carried to the graveyard. They had no funeral. The Sabbath began at sundown, and they could not do what was necessary. The day of the national celebration began. The day of total devastation for the followers of Jesus ensued. The Passover was the kind of day for Israel. It was the day their nation escaped the slavery. The hopes and dreams of the disciples were crushed with the death of Jesus. Now they were trying to make some kind of sense out of all of their pain. What do we do now? Where do we go from here? What about all of his teachings? And they grapple with these questions Friday night, stretched into Saturday, and Saturday night stretched into Saturday, stretched into Saturday night. The long, painful hours of the night slowly passed, and the first day of the week drew near. Some began to busy themselves with making sure the body of their loved one had been properly attended to. Others, still reeling from the terror of the past days, crowded in the upper room, hunkered down behind locked doors. The shock was giving way to greater fear. As the morning light approached, the women made their way to the tomb. And as they drew near, God was at work. The need for a way to enter the tomb was met. The reason for entering the tomb was different now than when they came. They wanted to minister to the dead body of Jesus. They wanted to anoint it with spices and love so it would decay properly without real bad smell. But God wanted them to see the power of the resurrection. Over the next 7 weeks, they saw the power up close, personal, and powerfully. They felt the power in their lives. They saw the power in the lives of others. The Lord Jesus ministered to them in special ways. This was not a dream or a vision. The power was real. The power transformed the followers of Jesus and their world. 50 days after the resurrection, the power of the resurrection that the disciples experienced is called Pentecost. The Jewish nation celebrated the Feast of the Harvest, the Feast of the Weeks, 7 weeks after the Passover. And during that feast, the disciples experienced what we call Pentecost. God moved and people changed. Peter, the cursing denier, was filled with the Holy Spirit, and he proclaimed Jesus and his resurrections. The disciples saw the resurrection makes a difference in many lives that day. The power of the resurrection can be seen in the gospel even today. There is more than God reacting to grief. The gospel of Jesus, the good news of Jesus, can be seen in the gospel, the power of eternal God invading the cold, dark tomb and giving life to the dead body. The resurrection placed holy God's guarantee on the gospel of Jesus Christ. The resurrection was God's proof that Jesus was who he said he was. Just think of all the times God spoke on the subject of his eternal son. Before he was born, he spoke to Mary, Joseph, Zechariah, the shepherds, the magi, about Jesus' birth. God spoke when John the baptizer and the crowd with him the day Jesus was baptized. This is my beloved son. Hear him. He is the Messiah. He is the Christ. He is the promised one. Jesus told the disciples many things, and he spoke to them as no other man. He spoke with authority. In the resurrection, they saw more than a man of authority, though. With the resurrection, they heard God, the Heavenly Father, give the ultimate word of who Jesus is. He is the Messiah, the one with power over death and hell. The power of the resurrection is seen as the gospel convicts men of sin. Paul said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for salvation for everyone who believes, first to the Jew and also to the Greek. For it is the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith." You see, the gospel reveals the wrath of God as being released from heaven against all the godlessness and the wickedness of men. Jesus said, "No one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again." Paul says the wages of sin is death. The author of Hebrews said, "And just as it is appointed for people to die once, after this the judgment, so also Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him." You see, the power of the resurrection is seen in the assurance of the gospel. The assurance the righteous one has eternal life. Jesus will appear the second time, not to bear sin, not to experience death again, but to bring completion, the eternal salvation for those who are waiting on him. The assurance, it assures us of a living God. The tomb of Abraham, Isaac, David, and the prophets were with them. The tomb of Jesus, though, was empty. He promised his disciples that he would visibly and bodily return to us, and all the world watches to gather his own and eternal throne of God. It assures of a victorious God. Jesus died. And the only thing that had not been demonstrated through that Jesus died, the only thing he had not done was demonstrate the victory over hell. But 3 days later, with this resurrection, sin, death, and hell were defeated once and for all. Upon his resurrection, all heaven and earth was under his power, domain, and authority. He won every victory. Jesus was assuring us nothing can, nothing will stand in our way. We are given the victory by our victorious Lord. You see, the power of the resurrection can be seen in the world also. We must realize that Jesus Christ can do and will do for every person is not limited to eternity. But his blessings can and will be experienced during our lives on earth. The power of the resurrection brings salvation. Jesus said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him will not perish, but have eternal life." The power of the resurrection shows us he is the only Savior. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." People in the New Testament day, as well as in our day, try to find ourselves an avenue to God. But the resurrection shows us Jesus is the only way. The power of the resurrection gives meaning to life. When we realize there is more than a grave that awaits us, we know there's more than just an existence in this world. Jesus did not abandon us to the grave, but he made known to us the path to eternal life. We can simply follow him, and he will fill us with joy in his and the Father's presence for all of eternity. The Apostle Paul told us the mortal body cannot put on immortality. The sinful body can only put on incorruptible. The Bible teaches us our works will follow us to be examined by God. And the way you live will have eternal consequences. The power of the resurrection in this world brings hope for the future. Jesus declared in Revelation 22:12, "Lord, I'm coming soon, and my reward is with me to repay every person according to his work." That was Luke, "I'm coming soon, and my reward is with me to repay every person according to his work." Yes, I'm coming soon, Revelation 20:20. These are the last words of Jesus in the Bible. Revelation 22, "Blessed are those who wash their robes so they may have right to the tree of life and enter the city by the gate." The power of the resurrection is given to all who believe. It empowers us to live in obedience to the Heavenly Father. To live in obedience to the Heavenly Father. Jesus said in John 14:6, "I will ask of the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever." You see, Jesus promised with us to be with us until the end of the age. Paul told us the power of the resurrection given to all believers will enable us to live like God wants us to live. The fruit of the Holy Spirit will bear out in our lives the love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The law is not against these things, Paul said. These are the fruits. If these fruits are not in your life, the resurrection power is not in your life. The Holy Spirit is not in you. We have the power of the resurrection in our life. We're going to live in step with the Holy Spirit, and we will bear his fruit. We will live according to God's desire. If there is not fruit, there is no eternal life. That means hell for eternity for that person. The power of the Holy Spirit gives direction to the believer's life. Jesus said, "Not everyone who says, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one that does the will of my Father in heaven," in Matthew 7:21. Remember, Jesus commanded in Matthew 28, he came near to them and he said, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I've commanded you. And remember, I am with you even until the end of the age." He is risen, and he will come again. Until then, he tells us to do the works of righteousness. The power of the resurrection gives the believer's life supreme hope. You know people that's lost all hope. They become very self-destructive. They will not stop. They'll just sit down. They will stop. They will just sit down and do nothing. People live only if they have hope. The greatest hope of all is eternity in heaven. And Jesus said, "There I am, you will be also." The greatest hope is eternity in heaven. And he calls us to tell other people about that. That's how we give hope to others. We help them for the privilege of telling them why we are different, why we have hope, why we have assurance. It's because of Jesus and what he did 2,000 years ago. And the resurrection gives us that hope to live every day because he's soon coming. The songwriter said, sing the wondrous love of Jesus. Sing his mercy and his grace. In mansions bright and blessed, he has prepared for us a place. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. The believer's hope is to live with Christ in God's heaven for all of eternity. Now, our question as we celebrate Easter and the sunrise once again today, do we have that hope? What does the resurrection mean to you? Have you experienced the power of the resurrection? Do you know the living Lord? Can you say he's alive? He's alive. Oh, what power there is. Do you know Jesus as your personal Savior and Lord? Not only an insurance policy against hell, not only a place in heaven, but he's in control. He's the boss. He leads me. He guides me every step. You see, it's kind of like those old three circles we've talked about so many times. Yes, there is the design God had for us. But like Adam and Eve, every one of us sinned and we broke God's design. And it put us in a hopeless condition. And in that hopeless condition, we try so many other things to find that we can do to give us hope. But there is nothing else save Jesus Christ. And through repentance and belief in the gospel, the message of hope, we can live. And we can join again in fellowship with God and be used of him to tell others about him, his love, and his grace. You see, the resurrection is not just an event that happened 2,000 years ago, but it is a powerful experience for us today that gives us hope and assurance. He's alive. He's alive. And we can know him. I hope you do. Let's pray. Father, we're so thankful for your love and grace and mercy. We thank you that we could celebrate today and know all that is going on in our lives to give us assurance of the hope that is in the resurrection that will be ours and we can spend eternity with you. In the meantime, let us live in this world in the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit and do exactly as Jesus said, and tell others about him, and make them disciples, learners, followers of Jesus, and know the hope that is in him. Go with us now. Be with us as we share in the blessing of the fellowship meal, and then as we move to the Bible study hour, use that time to build and encourage us even more in the power of the resurrection. Hear us. For we ask all of this in the powerful and strong name of Jesus. Amen.